vote so that they can be in power. Well, this morning, we are going to have a vote. And although we're not going to have ballot forms, and although we're not going to raise, well, we might raise our hands later on, we'll see, but it's nothing to do with who's ruling this country. We're going to decide who we would prefer to be king. And at Christmas time, you'll know that there was a king called King Herod, and we're going to read about him in a moment, but then there was a new king born, and the king that was born is King Jesus. And we're going to decide this morning who we want to be our king. If we want King Herod to be our king, or if we want King Jesus to be our king. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 2 and verses 13 to 18. And we're going to be thinking all the time, when we're reading this, who would I prefer to be my king, Jesus or Herod? So let's read these words. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, it says this: "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. What was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled: 'A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.'" So let's start with our first candidate, and this is King Herod. And the first thing I want us to know about this king is he is a liar. He is somebody who tells lies. Did you notice? Well, let me give you a recap of the Christmas story, because we looked at this it was a week ago, last Sunday night. We looked at the visit of the Magi when they came and saw Jesus. Because if you remember, they went first to a place called Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was where Herod was king. He wasn't really a Jew. He wasn't the king of the Jews. Well, he was the king of the Jews, but he wasn't really a Jew. But that's where the Magi went, because they thought, where will Jesus be born? He'll be born in the capital city. That's where the king of Israel will be. So that's where the Magi went. And can you imagine King Herod sat there in his palace, seeing these wise, clever, rich men come in? He must have thought, finally, somebody is coming to show some respect to me as king. But the Magi didn't want to see Herod. They said, where is this new king? Where's this new king that's been born king of the Jews? Now, that must have been pretty ego deflating for Herod. And he called some clever people in who knew the Bible, and they told him that the new king would be born in a place called Bethlehem. Now listen to what Herod said to the wise men. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Do you think Herod wanted to worship Jesus? No, he didn't. Herod wanted to kill Jesus. So that means Herod tells lies. He's a liar. Can you imagine if the people who got into power in our country just told lies all the time? How could you trust anything they were saying? Now, some sniggers going on because people think, well, yeah, that sounds about right. But how can you trust, if someone's willing to deliberately lie to you, how can you trust anything that they'll say? How do you know that they're telling the truth at this time or not? See, and lying isn't just telling untruth. Lying can be deliberately misleading people to manipulate a situation, putting a positive slant on things, only telling part of the facts. Herod was someone who told lies to get his own way. I wonder, would you like a king like that? Would you like a leader like that? Let's move on. Herod, we also see in the passage that we read, is cruel. I think they are some of the worst words that we read in the Bible in verse 16. Some of the most horrific words. It says this, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. There he is, Herod, issuing this decree, the most horrendous thing ever, for these young boys to be killed. Why? Well, he didn't want this new king to threaten his position as king. He was disturbed by the fact that there was a new king in Israel. So he gave this order to have all the boys under 2 years of age and under killed, because he wanted to destroy this newborn king. Can you imagine the scenes in Bethlehem that day when the slaughter squad arrived? I'm not surprised it says, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. What a terrible, terrible day. Who wants a king who is willing just to say a word and have all the boys under 2 years of age slaughtered? And that wouldn't be the first or last time that Herod would do that. Just say an order to have people slaughtered. He was a terribly cruel king. He even killed some of his own children on one occasion because he didn't want them to try and rise up and make him king no more. One more about King Herod. Not only is he a liar, not only is he cruel, but he also is someone who fails. He often fails. Just think about it. Herod has had two plans in these readings. Firstly, he tried to trick the Magi into coming back to him and telling him where Jesus was so he could go and kill him. That failed because the Magi were warned in a dream and they escaped another way. Secondly, he tried to just destroy all the babies that were 2 years and under, all the boys, so he would kill Jesus. That failed as well, because God amazingly warned Joseph in a dream and they escaped to Egypt so Jesus was safe. See, Herod failed in both the things he tried to do. Now imagine, our government said, we're going to build a high-speed railway. We're going to reduce all the waiting lists in the hospital and we're going to get rid of national debt. Imagine in 2 years' time, the railway was nowhere to be seen. The debt was three times as much and all the hospitals are closed down. What would you think? Would you ever vote them in again? Of course not, because they have failed in everything they've tried to do. Who wants a king that fails? Nobody. We need somebody who won't fail, but will succeed in everything they can do. So let me ask you a question. In summary of Herod, he lies, he's very, very unkind, and he also doesn't succeed in what he tries to do. Who wants Herod to be king for them? Anyone? No one? Have I not sold him too well? I shouldn't be his spin doctor or whatever they call them, should I? If I can't get anybody to vote for Herod. Okay, let's move on. Because the next king is King Jesus. And the first thing I want you to know about Jesus is he always tells the truth. He is honest. In fact, when Jesus grew up into be a man, he said, I am the way and the truth. He is somebody who is always true in everything he says. Now, what we need to realize, and that video helped us to understand this, is God and Jesus are the same person. That's difficult for us sometimes to understand, but God and Jesus are the same person. So when God says something, that is also Jesus saying something. And in the passage that we read, on two occasions, I said the words, because I was reading what the Bible says, and he said through the prophets. And that's telling us that before Jesus was born, on two occasions, there was many more, but two that we've read today, God had said something. God had said something that was going to happen. One of the things that God said would happen was that Jesus would go to Egypt and would be brought out of Egypt, which is what happened. He also said that there would be weeping and mourning because of some children being killed, and that's also what happened. See, God and Jesus can be trusted because they always tell the truth. Always, without fail. If God says something, that is true. Sometimes when I'm watching the news and I hear politicians saying something, I always think, what's gone on behind the scenes? What's actually being said? What actually is the truth here? There's none of that with Jesus. What he says is always the truth. There is no hidden agenda. There's no secret thing that we don't know about. He tells the truth to us, and the Bible is God's truth for us. What a contrast to Herod. Next, Jesus is kind. So Herod is cruel, but Jesus is kind. Just think about it. God made this world, and we, people, didn't listen to God. We went our own way, and we did our own thing. Now imagine, if that happened in Herod's kingdom, if people didn't listen to him, if people just ignored what he said, what do you think he would do? I think he would probably kill them like he did the babies in Bethlehem. But what does God do even though we don't listen to him, even though we disobey him? Well, the Bible says that Jesus is God coming to this world to rescue us. Jesus became like one of us, identifying with his people so that he could rescue us from this broken world. Jesus chose to become a man, to be dependent on food and air, to be dependent on his parents. Jesus came to earth to be willing to die so that he could rescue people like you and me. Where Herod is cruel, Jesus is kind. And he goes out of his way to help. Last one. Where Herod always fails, Jesus always, King Jesus always succeeds. Now we might say to someone, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow in Wigan. But if your car breaks down, you might not see them tomorrow. Or you might say, I'll meet you on such and such a day. But if you're ill, you might not be able to go. There are loads of things that can happen to us that mean we don't do what we'll say. But Jesus always succeeds in everything he sets out to do. And even though Jesus was coming to earth on a really difficult mission, even though people were trying to kill him, he totally succeeded. One of the things that I love in this passage is when you go to the book of Jeremiah and you read what comes after that verse in verse 18 that speaks about the weeping and the mourning that Rachel will have for her children, is in the book of Jeremiah, it says this next. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy, so there is hope for your future. Even though terrible things happened in Bethlehem when Jesus was born, because Jesus succeeds in everything he does, there is great hope. Even for people who face the most horrendous things, even when there's tragedy, even when there's death, even when there's cruelty, because of Jesus and the fact that he succeeds in everything he does, there is great hope. And Jesus' ultimate success was going to the cross, dying, but rising again, so that all people, anyone, whoever you are, if you trust in him, you can be part of his kingdom that lasts forever. And Jesus will succeed in making sure we spend all eternity with him if we trust him. So there are two kings. Now, I think there's only one question left for me to ask. Which king would you like? Now, nobody raised your hand for King Herod earlier. Who would like a king like Jesus, who is honest, kind, and succeeds? Yeah, everyone wants a king like that, don't we? Now, here's where it gets personal. Because the Bible says that actually, when we are born into this world, when we live through life, we all have a king like Herod. What am I talking about? Am I talking about our government? Well, sometimes he might not tell the truth. And sometimes he might be a bit cruel, and often they might fail in what they try to do. But no, I'm not talking about our government. Am I talking about Satan? No, I'm not talking about Satan. I'm talking about the king of your life when you're born is you. See, we do our own things. And do you know what? The more I think about King Herod, the more I start to think I'm quite a lot like him. And you might not like this, but so are you. See, how easy do we find it just to maybe bend the truth just a little bit to get us out of trouble or just to make sure someone thinks good about us? And even though, yeah, we've not slaughtered anyone, the Bible says that if we're angry with somebody, that's like we've committed murder in our hearts. Has anyone been angry with someone? I've certainly been angry with people. And what about in our plans? Do all our plans succeed? No, often our plans often fail. And ultimately in life, we can't succeed because all of us will die at some point. See, we're very much like King Herod. And just a couple of moments ago, we had a vote and everyone said they would much rather Jesus be their king. Well, we have a choice. We can either ignore Jesus and rule our own lives in this way, or we can choose to bow the knee and accept Jesus as our king. And if we do that, and to be a Christian means saying, I don't want to run my life anymore. I don't want to be king of my own life. I want Jesus to be my king. I want him to be one that's calling the shots. I want to follow his way. And when we do that, the Bible tells us that for all eternity, we will be with Jesus. God has made it possible that we don't have to face the penalty for what our living like this deserves. The Bible tells us where Herod, he sent a slaughter squad to kill some babies. The Bible tells us that God was willing to kill his own son so that you and me can be forgiven and be part of his kingdom. So, this morning, we've already voted. We've all said we want a king like Jesus. But is that a reality in your heart? Have you actually bowed the knee to him? Have you said, be my king? I don't want to live for myself anymore. That is something we can all do. And if you do that, that is the best news ever. Because we'll be part of Jesus' kingdom, which lasts forever and ever. So, as you leave today, don't forget your memory verse. But also, don't forget the question, who will be my king? We're going to sing our final carol together, which is number 337.